Okay. I have to give a disclaimer before I start. There are two different types of schmoozing that people give. There's, you know, people, someone was telling me recently that most people, they just find that they give the same schmooze over and over again. Right? They have certain pet topics that they like to talk about. So there's two different reasons why people have a pet topic. Either because they're very good in something, or because they're very bad in something, right? It's something that you're very good in because it's really meaningful for you. You really, I worked on it, I spend my whole life, I think it's so important. Since I'm the best basketball player, so I think basketball is where everything gets, you know, that's what everything is counts. So that's all I talk about, is because, right? And sometimes it's the converse. If you're bad in something, so it bothers you. So, Mameda, you're always thinking about it, right? Okay. So, with that introduction, this is a schmooze on something that I'm bad in.
Mameda, it can't be that someone gets inspired from certain things.
It could be. Okay. I don't say. Not everything is mukhruch. But generally speaking, there usually is. There's usually these two ways. Either if someone talks about something, a topic, a lot, it usually means one or two things. Either he's... That's his baby. He's really very good in it. So he's always talking about it because that's what he really is good at, and people always talk about they're really good in. Or he's bad in it. So this is something that I'm bad in, okay? Right. And Mai said that there's a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says in this week's Parsha, Shmini, I think I spoke about it a little bit last year too, but I'll try and talk a little different angle. Maybe not totally different. It says that Moshe tells Aaron, Krav el Mizbeach, Shoya Aaron Bosh. Aaron was embarrassed, Viore, and afraid to do the, you know, this was to do the Korbanos. Omer no Moshe, Lamata Bosh, why are you embarrassed? Lechach Nifcharta. So, this is a very interesting topic that here we have that Aaron was not going to do what he was supposed to do because of embarrassment. Right? In other words, there was a tremendous mitzvah. Aaron was going to be the Kohen Gadol, and it seems that embarrassment was holding him back. So this is a topic which I wanted to talk about, where embarrassment holds us back from doing what's right. I like talking about it, because I'm bad in this, right? You talk about things that you're bad in. I was historically one of the world's most bashful people ever on the face of the earth. I remember in eighth grade, everybody in my class davened for the Amid, except for one person, right? You know, who? You know, now, why didn't I daven for the Amid? Because, I don't know, maybe I'll get up and I don't know the Nusach. Make him embarrassed. Okay, well, no. Okay. But then, wait a second, I have to finish my story. So then, listen, so I decide, no. So I listen and paid attention and maybe practice. No, I know the Nusach. But I still didn't daven. Why not? Because in order to daven, you have to put on a tawis. I never put on a tawis. How do I know I know how to put on a tawis? Caught me, right? I know the Nusach, I can test. I can go into a sealed room where no one's listening, and I can practice. See, yeah, I got the Nusach. But you can't go out and put on a tawis. I can't get a tawis. I have no tawis. So the only way to put on a tawis is to go up in front of the mirror and put on a tawis. I know I can put on a tawis, right? Anyway, no, I guess none of you people can relate to that. But, okay, so you see, I was quite a bashful child. So, lemaisa, bashfulness is a very big problem. It holds you back. So, I like to study the Rashi and how Aaron was expected to get over his bashfulness. So, it's a very interesting thing. It's really very interesting that there's almost like a machlokes between the Medrash and Rashi. The Rashi says that Moshe told Aaron, Lama ata bosh, right? The Rashi says, Shoya Arin Bosh, Piyare, Omelo Moshe Lama Ata Bosh. In the Medrash, it has a very same thing. It says, Mashal to a story that someone was embarrassed. So they said, Hogeis Daitcha, and just do it. Which means the Medrash is saying, it's like you're afraid of something. So there's two ways of approaching it. They probably both work. You can say, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm afraid of the dark. I can't go, it's dark. So one way is saying, this is silly. There's nothing to be afraid of. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of nothing. And the other way is to say what?
Just do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Be a man. So, okay, so you're afraid. So what? Right? So you have to overcome your fear. You have to do it anyway. So it seems that those are the two approaches in the Medrash, in the Rashi. Medrash uses the approach that Moshe was telling Aaron, okay, I understand you're embarrassed. It's understandable. But do it anyway. Be a man, you know. Overcome your busha. It's not so easy. You know, didn't work for me. And the other way Rashi is saying is that Moshe is telling him there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Now, why is there nothing to be embarrassed about? So he says, L'chach nifharta. So how does l'chach nifharta take away the busha? That's an interesting shayla. Moshe says, don't be embarrassed, l'chach nifharta. Why does that help? So apparently, the pshat is, part of the busha is that you feel like you're showing off. You feel like you're, like, I don't belong here. Like, what? Why me? What am I getting? I'm getting up in front of everyone and giving a class. Who do I think I am? Why am I? I'm going to get up and ask a question in public. I'm going to talk. I'm going to give a drasha. I'm going to be the chazan. Like, you know, who are you? So when you say the chach nifharta, it takes away a large part of the busha, because it makes sense that you should be doing it. Part of the busha is that I'm thinking people are going to look at me like, who does he think he is? You know, like, why is he? You know, that's, you know, the embarrassment is not necessarily I'm embarrassed, I'm going to make a mistake. That a chach nifharta won't help for. But many times the embarrassment is, if I care, I'm not going to make a mistake. I know I'm right. I'm just embarrassed that everyone to be in the spotlight. What's it called? Not the spotlight. What's the word for it?
Limelight.
Thank you. So, you know, who does this guy think he is? So l'chach nifharta solves that problem. L'chach nifharta. Okay.
So what's l'chach for what?
For this purpose. This is why you were chosen, because you were chosen for this job. Hashem created you to be the Kohen Gadol. So you don't have to feel like, oh, look at that, look at Aaron, they're the big bell guy, but he thinks he's the Kohen Gadol. That's what you were created for. Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
But Aaron doesn't do
that
anymore.
What?
Moshe Abinu knows that, but not the rest of
Klal Yisrael. So Moshe is telling Aaron that you should feel uncomfortable, you know. I'm showing. Oh, I'm doing. You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not doing anything amazing. It's not like, oh, I'm doing an amazing thing. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Okay. Anyway, the Maisa, getting to the basic topic. How does one overcome busha? So, we said this previous times. I mentioned I told a story with the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chidusha label. We'll skip it for the time being because it's late. We said busha is basically, most busha today, bashfulness, is a type of fear, right? Like in my example, I'm afraid that I won't put on the tawis right, right? I'm afraid that I'm going to get up to daven and I'm going to be off key, and people are going to laugh at me. I'm afraid I'm going to ask a question in shir, and it's going to be a stupid question, and then everyone's going to make fun of me, or I'm going to be embarrassed. So busha is usually a fear. So we said many, many times, what's the solution for fears? How do you solve fears? Yeah, for the most easiest answer is you go ahead and you push yourself to do it. The more you do something, the less it's fearful, because usually it's the fear, you do it, first of all, the 99% you do it and nothing happens. So then you see, you don't be so afraid. And if something does happen, you see it's not so terrible.
When it was terrible.
And then you won't do it again. But usually that's what happens. I see. You're on the ball. You're on the ball. But okay. But you're not. You don't have this problem, so you don't have to worry. Usually, so that's as simple, the normal solution, the most simple solution. In other words, I remember when I was a senior in high school, so I was in the highest share was in the high school was being given by Rabbi Frindel. Rabbi Frindel, I assume many of you people heard of him. He was one of the Shiva's closest Talmidim, was a very chasher person. He was nifter, regretfully already. And he was the principal of the high school. Regretfully, and when I was a senior, he left. He left the high school. So there was no shir. So I got promoted into the base medrash. So here this, I was also very short, just for the record, make life worse. There's this short, little, shrimpy little kid who's in the high school, and he's getting put into the base medrash. And then no one ever went, in those days, people didn't go from the high school into the base medrash till then. I'm very embarrassed. I remember that the first day I have to talk in shir, because in high school I used to talk, but I'm going to be intimidated by all these big base medrash guys, and I'm this shrimpy high school kid. So I forced myself the first day to say something. I have no idea if it was any good, but then it was much easier, because once you broke the ice and you faced your fear and you did it, so then it's much easier. Right? So the first way of fighting fears is you gotta try. The more you do the things that you're afraid of, the less you're afraid of them. That's the Klal Gadol. If you're afraid of fundraising, you should fundraise. Right? That's the best thing. If you're afraid of public speaking, you should public speak. If you're afraid of davening for the Yomim, you should daven for the Yomim.
Is that too? Meaning fundraising. If someone doesn't need a fundraiser in their life, so what do I mean by this?
You have a valid point, because I always say this. I've said this many times, and I mentioned that I'm afraid also of heights. I have a lot of fears. I'm a strange person. I'm afraid of heights, and I still cannot go on heights. When I was a child, I told the guys I couldn't even go on a seesaw. Over there. So I couldn't go. And I still can't go to a baseball game. It was deprived of the heights. And I could not go to a concert, because it's usually a thing. And even today, I'm still scared of heights. When the few times I had to get my things got stuck on my roof of my house, and someone had to climb up and get it, but it was not me, maybe my wife, my kids, send my kids up. Nachmi, Avram, when they were little kids, they climbed up to the roof. But I would never climb up to the roof. But the part is, and I agree with you, why did I go ahead and work on my fear of heights? Because I think I agree with you. Like so what? Doesn't interfere with my life at this point. But once it did interfere with my life, I needed to sleep on a bunk bed. I slept on the bunk bed. So I overcame it. Because then it was important. So I had to sleep on the bunk bed. So I did it, and that was it. But when in a normal life, it's really being scared of heights has not affect me, basically, especially in Florida where there is no heights. Everything is level. So, you're right. So, but there are most of these things. Scared of fundraising is not just fundraising. It's really it's the same thing. If you're afraid of fundraising, what it really means is you're afraid of asking people things. And therefore, it won't just be fundraising. It'll be the same thing when you have to ask your boss for a raise. It's the same thing. It's the same midah. It'd be the same thing when you have to ask your wife if she'll marry you. You know, it's a similar type of me. So it's afraid of asking for something that you'll be afraid the guy's going to tell you no. So it's not scared of fundraising. It is a good thing to work on because it's saying there's a lot of things that go in that. It's not just fundraising.
I mean, it sounds like also you feel like you don't belong. Like who are you to ask him for money?
Right. In other words, yeah. And it's also I know that he's not going to like it because people don't like it when you ask him for money. So I'm afraid of being disliked. I don't want you to say that. I know you say no and you're going to be upset with me and I don't want you to be upset with me. And there's a lot of different reasons why you'd be afraid. But the best thing to do is do it. And the guys, when we don't have collecting week this year, right? It's that would be a very good thing to do the collecting. What?
How does someone get rid of a fear of like awkward moments?
That's what I'm saying. The first answer
is yourself in an
is,
awkward moment.
No, but putting yourself in a situation where there's a fear that you'll have an awkward moment. Right? You're afraid of doing something because you're afraid that you might get into an awkward moment. Right? I don't know example. You'll have to give us the example.
Trying out an issue.
Right? So doing the thing which you're afraid that you might get into an awkward moment is very good because Manashak was saying, either the awkward moment won't happen, so you learn that I don't have to be afraid of awkward moments. It's like I'm afraid to daven because I'm afraid I'm going to squeak when I start singing. I don't have to worry about that because I'm always going to, I don't squeak, I just off tune all the time. But you're afraid you're going to squeak. So if either you won't squeak, so then you learn that there's nothing to be afraid of, or you will squeak and you'll learn that it wasn't so terrible. So the same thing is true. You know, you're afraid not to do something because you're afraid of being, you're going to be awkward. So that do that thing that you're afraid you're not doing because you're being awkward. Either you'll learn that, look, it doesn't happen. So the first rule of getting over fears is the more you do the things that you're afraid of, the less likely you will be to be afraid. Right? That's rule number one. Okay. Rule number two, we said this many times. What else is that? You're supposed to. The Shiva was very big and always. You're not supposed to deny the fear. You're supposed to. The things that you deny are always more scary, right? The things that are hidden, things that you hide in the closet, things that you're not ready to speak about. It's secretive. Secretive things are always more, they get hold of your imagination. And the best thing is almost to speak out the fear. I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to make a fool of myself. When you speak it out, it's not as fearful as when you almost like envision. You know, I remember reading somewhere that in these war, and in the soldiers, they have one of the things they do with soldiers is they have what's it called in English, the fancy word, you know, they make believe war. What's it called? Simulations. And they actually have bombs going off next to you, right? They have simulations of bombs and the noise and, you know, explosions because it's a fear. When you're in go to war and you hear a giant explosion, you get scared. So if you want to be able to avoid being scared, so you get used to it. You're probably thinking. So they put you in a situation and they can't explode a real bomb because that'll be a little dangerous. So they have a make-believe bomb. Then it goes off and you get used to, you visualize what it's like to have an explosion next to you. And that takes away the fear to some extent. So even if it's not real, it's just simulated.
Is it that you view when there really is a bomb that is fake, or
what?
Is it that you're going to view when there really is a
No. You're not going to view it as fake. That wouldn't be healthy. No, we don't want you viewing a real bomb as fake. You get yourself killed that way. It's just that you get used to it. Things that are fearful are the unknown. The unknown is very much more scary. No matter, very often a person who is, you find, for example, a person who feels, he thinks there's something wrong with him. right? And he feels a lump on his body, whatever. He's afraid to go to the doctor. Once he goes to the doctor and the doctor tells him what he has, he's relieved. Even if the doctor tells him it's a, you know, a very bad thing, because beforehand it was a fear of the unknown. It's I don't know what it is. So the unknown, I have some illness. It's frightening. You go to the doctor. Doctor says, you know, you have cancer, and there's a treatment. We have to do 5 weeks of chemotherapy. So you would think, oh, the guy, but the guy's less scared, because the unknown makes things scarier. So a system, it's true. What I just said is true scientifically, Metzius wise. If you talk to people, the one of the ways of overcoming fear is to make it more less unknown. The more it's you know it, the more you exactly picture it. You know exactly what's going to happen. Then okay, then it's not so scary, because it's known. The third thing to do, which is what we're group is saying, is that to once you picture, you know, what it is going to be, is to hear that it's not so bad, right? In other words, very often people are scared of things and they don't stop to think out, is it really so terrible? In other words, in this case of I'm afraid to daven, which is, so you tell you, you know, let's say my case, I'm afraid to daven because I don't know how to put on a talus. So the thing to do would be to ask it, and what are you afraid of? Well, I'll go up to daven and I won't know how to put on the talus and I'll put it on wrong. Okay, and what will happen if you put on the talus wrong? Well, all the kids in the class will laugh at me. Okay. And what will happen if everybody laughs at you? Nothing. Right? Nothing happens. You don't die when people laugh at you. So the there's an etzah of when you think out, so it's two things. One is it just gets you less scary because you've done it already. So by picturing it, simulating it, it's less scary. But two, you're also able to envision that it's not so bad. There's a a Medrash HaGadol, one of the most amazing Medrash HaGadols anywhere in the world. I don't know. There's a Sefer Medrash HaGadol. I don't know if Yeshua does not own the Sefer. The Yemenites had a Sefer called Medrash HaGadol. Then when they came to Yemen, it's translated. I think it was in Arabic, but it's Midrash. It's Arab. It's the Midrashim or Perushim that they had on the Chumash that we don't have. They had certain Midrashim that we lost. So there's a Medrash HaGadol. Rabbi Brook brings in the beginning of Shemos, that says as follows, that Rabbi Akiva's wife went ahead and married Rabbi Akiva. Why did she marry Rabbi Akiva? Because she saw that he had such a tremendous drive to learn and to succeed. So she got married and she told him to go learn. So Rabbi Akiva said no. Why would he say no? So he's so driven. Because he said, I'm embarrassed. Because they're going to laugh at me. I'm going to come in. I'm 40 years old, and I don't know the Aleph Beis. I'll go in there, and all these little kids know Aleph Beis. It's embarrassing. It's amazing Medrash, no? So Rabbi Akiva was going to, we were going to lose Rabbi Akiva because he was too embarrassed. Isn't that an amazing Medrash? So it says that she told him, okay, you don't want to go? So go. I want you to go to the market for me, you know? She's like, So she got a chamor, and they put dirt on the chamor, and they planted something on the dirt, and it started to grow, some wheat on the dirt. So she told him, take this chamor to the market and try and sell it. You got a miraculous, you know, you can take your portable farm with you. New invention, a portable farm. So, I don't know the kasha why he did it, because sometimes when your wife tells you to do something, you got to do it. So he actually went, And he went walking through the street and said, portable farm for sale, portable farm for sale. And guess what happened? Everyone laughed at this Michigan, you know, portable farm, you know. So he came home and he told his wife, everyone laughed at me. So what happened the next day? She told him, go again. She kicked him out of the house.
He was afraid of them.
I don't know. I can't answer that. Gosh. So he did it again. And up here, it's probably because his wife stood over him with a broom, you know. And I go out and sell that. Didn't even have to go somewhere, wait to yeshiva, you know. She wasn't there. I don't know. Anyway, did it again. And again, everyone laughed at him. And she sent him out the third day. And the manager says, she kept knew what happened. Nothing. She said, did that happen to you? No one laughed at me anymore. She says, so what do you see? The joke gets old. You know, they laugh the first day, they laugh the second day. The third day, they won't laugh anymore. So you can go to learn. You're right, they'll laugh at you. But it'll just be 2 days, they'll laugh at you. The third day, they won't laugh. So what are you worried about? So for 2 days, you can handle. That's the magic. So that's a little bit what we're saying, that the cure for being is you have to realize that it's not as bad as you think. You think they're going to laugh at me for 50 years. Okay, they're only going to laugh at you for 2 days. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov has a story, which I said over. I think most of you probably heard this story already. It's that, and I can't promise it's true because this is my saying over a story from Rabbi Yaakov who's saying it somewhere else. But I think this is the way I remember it. It's, I think it's true. That the yeshiva used to have an education consultant called Dr. Foreman. Who, those who remember, used to walk with a limp. The reason he walked with a limp is he got into a very terrible car accident. He was on Main Street. He was, I think he was hit by a car. A drunk driver smashed into him when he was loading up his car with the Ludos or whatever. Anyway, he got very injured. And he was in the hospital. So the story goes, this is what Rabbi Yaakov told me, that he told Rabbi Foreman, told him, but that he was right from within the hospital, and he was in a very bad condition. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky came to visit him. And with great emotion, Rabbi Foreman told him that the doctors say that he might not make it. That is, you know, this condition is a very serious condition. And, you know, the doctors say that I might not survive. And Rav Yaakov said, okay, not so terrible. Since everyone dies sometime. He's like, what are you getting so upset about? And he said, Rav Foreman said that was the best thing he needed to hear. Because he was walking around petrified that he might die. And Rav Yaakov put it in light. Okay, you might die. Not so bad. It's not the end of the world, right? You know, even dying. Okay, so you die, right? The truth is, you think about it, yeah. So you die. All right. So that is the same idea that you have to. He said that was that mamish cured him, because after that he was much more relaxed. Till then he was a nervous wreck. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't eat. He said, I might die. And Yaakov said, okay, don't nothing to get upset about. You know, just don't get so upset. So anyway, so that's just summarize, we're late. So we're saying this. Rashi says that the solution is that there's nothing to be embarrassed because you're doing your job. The Rebbe Medrash says you just have to get up the guts and do it anyway. We said that you practice doing the thing that you're afraid of, so it makes it, once you do it, it's not scared. Another solution, if you can't do it, like the Taoist, I couldn't do it, so then I was stuck, I couldn't do it. So you visualize exactly what's going to be. You simulation, we said, and then you get used to it. And then the third thing is that whatever might happen is not so terrible. And that hopefully, all together, maybe a little bit, it'll help to remove some of the bush. Okay, Yeshikaya.